Well, this morning, we're looking at a third of life's most important questions. And that question is found in Genesis 3, where the serpent says to Eve, and I think Adam, who was standing right there with her, and he questions the authority and the accuracy of God's word. And he says unto Eve, did God really say? Now, this is an important question because we live in a day and age where people are wondering what are the root causes of all the problems that we're seeing. And everyone's pointing their finger at everyone else saying, well, you're the problem. You're the problem. I mean, Democrats are blaming Republicans and Republicans are blaming Democrats. People are blaming the Chinese and others are blaming white European males. Oh, there's blame being thrown around everywhere. But everyone, I'm afraid, or at least almost everyone, is missing the real root cause of the problems of this nation, of this world, and our lives personally. And that root problem is found in that question that I mentioned. So we can understand why this is so important. Let's listen to what God's word says, beginning in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree would be to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate, and she gave some also to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loincloths. Did God really say? Did God actually say? This opening question is the question that we must answer correctly. Because to answer that question wrongly is the root of all sin and all evil in this world. We must learn that disobedience has its root first and foremost in unbelief. Unbelief in God's word. You know, we all make choices in life. Every decision we make, we try to determine what is the best decision to make. In other words, as someone once put it, we're choosing what is truly good. What is the greatest good? If I choose this path, what will the good be that results from that? Or if I choose this other path, what will be the good that results from that? Notice that in our text, as Eve and Adam were considering their options, it says that they saw that the fruit of this particular tree was good for food. That it was a delight to the eyes. And it was to be desired. Now pause and think about that for a moment. God had said something different about this fruit, didn't he? God said this fruit was deadly. That if you would eat this fruit, you would surely die. But Satan, in the form of a serpent, suggested that God was lying. That God was mistaken. That God had motives that were designed not to give us the good. And in suggesting to Adam and Eve that their heart's desire and their good can be found in something other than God's word, the root of unbelief begin. You see, this is what's wrong, and this is what's happening to all of us. The Bible is clear. God's word is clear as to what's right and wrong. But what do? Time and time and time again, we question that word. We question God's authority. We question God's intention. We question God's wisdom. We doubt first, and then we disobey. For example, consider what happens when a couple decides to fornicate or have an adulterous affair. They know it's wrong. You know, it's interesting. God's word tells us his law is written on our heart. And, you know, you find jealous lovers all through human history. I mean, if someone's cheating, your wife is cheating on you, your husband's cheating on you, you're offended. That is wrong. And yet we consider, don't we, having an adulterous affair ourselves? Or prior to marriage, having a fornicative affair. What we're doing is we're questioning the wisdom of God's word as revealed to us and written upon our hearts. We're deciding that in our case, in this situation, the good that would result from our affair would be greater than the good of obeying God's word. We're doubting God. We're not believing God. You know, each of us are sinners. And every decision we make, every time we make a decision, we're doing that. We're literally choosing whether we're to obey God or not obey God. We're choosing whether we doubt God or believe God. And this basic truth leads to a second point. And that is that disbelief in God's word is not just the root of disobedience, but I would say it's the root of all evil. It's where all evil comes from. You know, we have been hearing lots in the United States in recent weeks about the evils of racism. But I want you to consider this term, racism. Do you realize that the word race did not appear in any language, including the English language, until the 17th century? And that prior to the 17th century, no one would ever think that you would categorize someone by their skin color. You know, this idea of race that we're seeing around us today is so prevalent that we think that's normal. But the fact that I've just mentioned this shows that for the vast stretch of human history, no one ever thought in these terms. This is an abnormality. Where did this evil come from? Where did this evil come from? Well, it came from a perverted desire to justify slavery. Another fact. Do you realize that slavery has been endemic in the human race throughout history? But at this period of time, in the 17th century, by the 17th century, there was one tiny place in the world where there was no slavery. And that was Christianized Europe. Because the Bible makes clear that chattel slavery is a sin. The slavery that you see mentioned in the Old Testament is really what we call indentured servanthood. Indentured servanthood is a contractual agreement in which one individual agrees in a contract to serve another individual for a limited period of time for certain economic benefits, such as the paying off of their debt. That's the only thing that Scripture says is allowable. The stealing of people for the purpose of enslaving them, chattling them to slavery for life, is a capital offense according to God's word. And so Christians understood this, And they were the first in the whole world to get rid of slavery. And yet we start seeing that the colonists all across the world, white colonists across the world, started enslaving others, particularly black Africans. How do they get around that? Well, they invented this whole idea of race, that race was based on skin color, and those who had certain skin color were subhuman or even not human, and therefore the restrictions that Scripture placed on slavery did not apply to these people. What a perverted plan this was. For even this is contrary to God's word. For God's word clearly teaches that all people come from one man, Adam. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we read this. And God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. We all have one father. We all have one mother, Adam and Eve. And the evil of racism we're seeing playing out in our society today is because people have disobeyed God's word. They haven't believed what God said. Satan spoke to those rich white landowners in the colonial period, and he said very subtly, just as he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? And so now we see where the root of that sin comes from. But the root of all sin and all evil comes from the disbelief in God's word. This week, I saw an interesting tweet, and apparently it's kind of gone semi-viral. It's been shared so many times, and it says this: first, we overlook evil, and then we permit evil. Then we legalize evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. And then we persecute those who still call it evil. Don't we see this being played out time and time again throughout human history, but particularly in our own day and age? You know, many in our society are rightly alarmed by the growing depravity, the growing evil of our society. However, they're looking for the solutions in the wrong places. Because if the root of evil and sin is disbelief in God's word, the only solution for the world's problems is the belief in God's word. In our day, many are looking for solutions to our nation faces. Perhaps you're looking for solutions in the problems you're having personally or in your family. But the only solution to all these problems lies in answering that question that Satan asked so many years ago. Did God really say? You see, that's why I've said this is one of life's most important questions. You know, there's many today who are undermining and questioning the truth and the veracity of the Bible and its reliability. Many of these people are called so-called scholars, and they have these big academic names and a PhD behind their names. Well, I want to tell you that I've studied these issues at great length, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but I do want to make this offer, that if anyone is reading anything that seems to question the truth of God's word, I will be willing to sit down with you and spend as long as it takes to show you or recommend to you books to read that show that from very solid, good Christian scholars, every question has been answered, and God's word, the word of God you have, is reliable. But what I want to do in this brief time we have together is just look at what Jesus and his apostles says. Because, you know, we can listen to what scholars are saying, but we need to listen to what Jesus says and what his apostles say. And first of all, Jesus says that Scripture is true. In John 17, verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." You see, Jesus is identifying for us how we can become holy, how we can become sanctified, and that is belief in God's word. And he says that word is true. And now listen to what Paul and Peter taught concerning where Scripture comes from, where its origins is from. And first of all, listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, where he writes this, "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Do you understand what that means? That yes, men wrote the Bible. You can see their various literary styles. Some were highly educated, some were almost semi-illiterate. You can tell that by the way they were writing. But it was saying that ultimately, the author behind this book we call the Bible is God by the Holy Spirit. Paul reiterates that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, where he says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Not only is Paul saying that the origin of God's word is men who are moved by the Holy Spirit, but he's saying that the God's word gives us the key to knowing what is good. All three of my daughters attended Hillsdale College. And one of the things that the president of that college loves to stress, and he feels is the goal of that college, is to follow the desire and the aim of classical education, to learn to discern what is good and true and noble. Now, of course, in that liberal arts education there, they read many other books, and I'm not suggesting that it's not important to read other books and philosophers. Many of them have good things to say, but ultimately, we have to judge every book, every saying, by the good book, by this book. For Paul says, this is the only book that was authored by the Holy Spirit, and this is the only book that can inherently show us what is true and good and noble in our lives. That's why years ago the psalmist would write in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." You know, we live in dark and confusing times. Every time I open up my web browser to a news site, I have to say that it almost makes me depressed. I'm doing it less and less because it just seems like darkness permeates what I'm reading about what's happening in our nation and world. But I hope this message has encouraged you, because in all this darkness, there's a light in a dark place. There's a light that's shining that can guide our feet in our path and show us the way to go. And it's God's word. It is God's word. Will you use God's word as your light? You see, life's most important question is summed up here. Did God really say? If you doubt it, you'll continue to walk down the path of darkness. But if you say, yes, God truly did say, then you will walk on the light. Let us walk in that light, for there is none other. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for the sure and reliable guide that you've given us in our lives. The guide that can not only help our own lives personally, but guide our nation and our world to the solution to the problems we see before us. Oh, Father, we pray that we as believers may be bold in proclaiming your word, that we would make our decisions according to this word, that we would hold our politicians and our leaders accountable to this word, and that we would work to be a force of reform in this world, that we would bring your kingdom as it best can be established now in this age to this nation and to this world by the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.